Okay, I see it's 6 o'clock, and I'm going to be calling the Transportation Advisory Board meeting for March 14, 2022 to order. May we have the roll call?
Sandra Stewart.
Present.
Liz Osborne. Courtney Michelle.
Here.
David McInerney.
Present.
Steve Lehner.
Here.
Diane Crist. Councilmember Yarbrough. Joe Long.
May I have a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting for February 14th, 2022 for the Transportation Advisory Board meeting? Courtney?
Approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
A second.
Liz seconded? Okay. Okay. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the February 14th, 2022 meeting. Is there any discussion? Yes, David.
Just a couple of comments on page 5 of the minutes, second sentence of the first paragraph. There's a phrase, wouldn't hurt Longmont's chances. That should be would hurt Longmont's chances. We were talking about some funding proposals. And also, it'd be good to correct the date in the minutes heading on pages 2 through 9.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Any other discussion? Okay, it's been moved. All those that approved the minutes with the stated corrections signify by saying yes.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, so it's been moved. It's been approved. All right. Thank you. Communication from staff. Phil?
Thank you, Chair Stewart. Well, we're working on our first meeting here without Tyler staying at the helm. So hopefully I can kind of make sure we still move forward and have a productive TAB. but I suspect Chair will have a lot more to do with that than me. But I really appreciate all the folks that were able to show up. And we do have a lot of folks from RTD on as well. I did want to let you know that we do have an upcoming meeting. It's a Colorado 119 or State Highway 119 membership meeting on April 6th. And you do have to kind of pre-register for it, but it's open to everyone. And it's here's the tagline. I hope you know who Commuting Solutions are, but they're the group that kind of works along US 36 and 119 and the whole Northwest area here, including 287. It says join Commuting Solutions for an exclusive opportunity to influence regional transportation planning and funding and network with members from different sectors. So that's the tagline for this event. It really does key in on the Diagonal Highway. So we're hoping you all can attend, or even if a few of you can attend, that would be wonderful, just to kind of get a flavor of what's going on. We'll have some folks there from RTD as well, and Colorado Department of Transportation, as well as Boulder County, City of Boulder, all the folks that are kind of working along the diagonal there. And then you'll see that I sent information, and I hope you all were able to get the copy of the link to the meeting that was held last Monday. And so just wanted to make sure you had that information moving forward. So I think that's it from staff. I'll invite other staff members. Jim, Caroline, Ben are all staff as well. I just asked them if they had anything to add, but we did not hear anything more. So I'm going to say, unless you have something, we can move on. Jim, did you have anything specifically?
Not specifically in regards to the meeting, but just as an informational item, city staff, I think everybody's heard a lot about the infrastructure bill that's has moved through Congress. As money's starting to kind of float out to the states. Staff will be meeting I think tomorrow to start going through and reviewing some of the grants to see where our best opportunities will be. We're going to have staff from LPC, Public Works. Phil, I think, is involved in that in planning. Broadband Next Light, Community Services. So a broad group of city staff kind of triaging a lot of the grants to find out where we're going to chase money, what are our best opportunities. Some of the continuing programs we have will be focusing on trying to leverage some of the city dollars with additional grant dollars. So that's the latest kind of, it's still in process as to what we're going to be looking at. But we have a group of city staff who are going to begin that process.
Great. And one last thing, just we're having issues with, and I just wanted to reach out to Stacy. Stacy and Jane are both on as well from staff, so sorry about that. But Stacy, if you can give Manas the permissions to share her screen. She's got the presentation from RTD later, so I just want to make sure she has permissions to be able to share her screen so she can do the presentation. If not, let me know and we can do it through mine. Great. Thank you.
Any other staff? Okay. All right. Public invited to be heard. Do we have any public in waiting? I'm not seeing anybody on there. Okay. No action items. Okay, so we're ready for the information items. And I'll turn that over to Phil for RTD.
Great, thank you so much. I'm going to start by introducing Director Geisinger, Lynn Geisinger. She represents our Boulder, kind of more of the Boulder, the western side of Longmont. I'm actually in her district, just west of Hoover, so many of us are, and we don't even realize it. So we'll start with Director Geisinger, and then Director Davis is going to come in at the end. He represents more of the center of Longmont, down to Broomfield, and kind of that east of Hoover section. So he'll be coming out at the end. He's been traveling, so he's just getting back from his travels, and he's been kind enough to join us. But with that, I'll turn it over to Director Geisinger for a couple comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Phil. I'm Lynn Geisinger, as Phil said, and I serve Western Boulder County, Boulder, Louisville, Longmont, up in the mountains, Louisville, Superior, up in the mountains. And right now I represent the southwest corner of Longmont, as Phil was saying. We just approved a redistricting map that does give me a little more of Western Longmont. But I'd say, you know, Eric Davidson, who represents the rest of Boulder County and also represents Bloomfield County, and I work very closely together. We consider ourselves both representing the Northwest Corridor. And so I think we consider Longmont and all of the different areas. We have a bit of a different focus, but mostly we feel like we're working together on them. We did just pass a redistricting map where we each represent about 205,000 people. And you know, it's great to be here tonight. Thank you so much for having me. I think we have a real A team with Natalie Handlos and Chris Quinn also coming. I'm going to talk a little bit about you know, some of what's been in the press lately, and much of that does come back to Northwest Rail, and Chris Quinn will be talking about that. But I will just talk a little bit about the board's view and some of where we are on that. And then I have chaired the Government Relations Committee. It's part of the Executive Committee now. I serve as first vice chair. So there are a couple of really interesting things happening in the legislature that I want to tell you about as well. So you may have seen or heard the three-part series in the Denver Post and the podcast Ghost Train. And then just a week or so ago, Denver Post editorial, all of which go back sort of and look at the history of RTD and kind of what needs to change, what's happening now. I think they all give some interesting background, and while I don't agree with all the particulars, I think one thing that's happening now that's exciting is reflected in all of those, which is that as they end up, they're all talking about the need for additional funding for transit. If we're going to meet our goals in this region around equity and around greenhouse gas emissions and air pollution, then we do need to build up the transit service, and that's going to require more money. I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. Northwest Rail is one of the topics that Chris will be talking about tonight. And I guess I don't have a lot of update from what I think you must probably already know, but the big news right now is that RTD, the board, has funded an $8 million study on Northwest Rail. So we know that we have the numbers we need, what the costs will be, what the engineering issues will be, at least in part, what ridership we can expect to have, and that'll help us all make better decisions. The board, while they're not all, you know, fans of this, of the Northwest Rail project, we ended up 10-2 voting to move this project forward. And Chris will be telling you, I think, now that we've hired a consultant and are ready to jump in on that. Last thing I wanted to mention was there are two bills in the legislature. There's actually one bill and one that we're expecting very soon that I think are pretty exciting. One of them is that the governor in his budget included $28 million for fare-free transit during part of the ozone season this summer. And we've worked through that. There are two big issues, really, that RTD is working hard to solve. And one of them is the financial piece, which we've mentioned. And we did get a lot of money out of the federal ARP and CARES and CHRIS Acts during the pandemic, but looking to stretch that. And the other is workforce issues. If you ride the bus, you know that we have had to cancel routes because we're just so low on workforce. But there's a collective bargaining agreement in the process, and our new CEO is working hard to try to bring in new workers and solve that problem. So assuming we can work on those things, I mean, assuming that we can help to solve those things, either way, we're moving forward with doing fare-free transit for the month of August. And I think it's a really exciting step that we're taking. And again, part of the excitement that I feel around that is that we're getting a lot of community support. Metro mayors sent a letter this week with 26 mayors representing 70% of the region that signed it saying, we want to support this, and we want to help you with the security issues. The security issues really are around people riding that are destinationless, that don't get off the bus if the bus is free. So Mayor Peck signed that letter, as did many of the other members up here, the Colorado Forum, a number of members of the environmental community. A lot of people are coming together to say, this is a great project. Let's try to do this free fare transit during August, and we want to help. Finally, the other thing that I think is really interesting in the legislature, there's a bill, HB 22-1026. And that bill takes what had been a 4% tax deduction for people buying eco passes, bus passes, for businesses that bought bus passes or bike share passes and certain other types of alternate modes passes for their employees, and turns it into a 50% tax credit. So that if a business buys those sorts of alternate transportation passes or support for their employees, they can deduct 50% of that. It's still working its way through the legislature. It seems to have pretty good support. And again, I think that's another exciting piece. So I'm going to quit. Let us move on to the staff reports, and then Eric will be back to finish up. And I believe that Phil wants to do questions. I'm happy to answer any questions, but I believe he wants to do those at the end. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Geisinger.
With that, I think I'll turn it over to Natalie Hondlos to introduce the team and get going on the presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Phil. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us back. This is an annual thing now. We're happy to be here. We have had a few staff changes, so just quick introduction. And if team, if you can turn your video on real quick to say hello, that'd be wonderful. So I'm Natalie Hondlos. I'm the lead or senior service planner scheduler for North Team, which is pretty much anything north of I-70 within the RTD district. We have Mana Subbarama with us. She's our service planner scheduler one still for right now between North Team and West Team. She's transitioning out of North Team into West Team. We have also a new staff member, a new service planner scheduler one. His name is Greg Filkin. He started with us just a month ago. We have Chris Quinn with us, who is our project manager too from a planning, systems planning. And then we have Aaron Vallejos, who is now our senior manager and contractor service for contractor services and anything and everything special services related. So thanks, team. I'm going to hand it over to Manas to start out, and then we're going to tag team the slideshow. Thanks.
Thank you, Natalie. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, cool. So just an overview of what we're going to cover in this presentation. We're providing updates on our fixed route services, special services, future plan service adjustments, as well as updates on Northwest Rail, First and Main Station, and the State Highway 119 plan. Next slide, please. So starting off with the fixed route service update. Next slide. All right, so to start off, I'd like to note that we're still under the COVID-19 service plan, which has been in effect since April of 2020. Under the plan, initially when we initially went into this, we suspended several routes throughout our service area and operated several of our routes under the under Saturday service for our week on weekdays. And since then, we have been slowly bringing back service either through we increased the service span of the routes or added in trips, et cetera, et cetera. We think at the beginning of the when we went into the COVID service plan initially, we were providing 60% of pre-pandemic service while carrying 40% of the pre-pandemic ridership. And currently we're providing 70% of the pre-pandemic service levels while having 50% of the ridership. Within Longmont, we have currently suspended the routes J and LX. They are suspended, and we are looking to bring them back once we have, once it's warranted, and once we have enough operators and resources and stuff. We have increased the service hours for most of our Longmont routes. The LD, as of the September on board, we did bring back a few LD3 trips in the midday. Next slide, please. All right, and this is our average boardings for our weekdays in these August run boards for each of these years. With the exception of 2020 and 2021, we are using August run board data. For 2020 and 2021, we're using September run board data since we did not have an August run board, we had a September run board. And I wanted to note that the route L was split into the routes LD and LX in August 2017, which is why we don't see any data for the route L past 2017. Overall, before the pandemic, we were seeing kind of an increase and then a pretty stable ridership levels. And then once the pandemic hit, of course, we had a drastic reduction in our ridership, but since then we are seeing a slow but steady increase in our ridership for all our routes, which is great, and we're really happy to see that, and we're hoping that this trend continues as we progress. Next slide, please. And this is our This is specifically our local route boardings. So all the 300 routes, 323, 324, 326, and 327 within Longmont. As you can, if you look at the graph there, the chart there, we did see sort of a, we were seeing pretty much an increase through the pre-pandemic. And then once 2020 hit, we had a 60% decrease, which is on par with what we were seeing throughout the system. We were carrying only about 40% of our pre-pandemic ridership, but in 2021 we did see a 50% increase from 2020 levels, which is great to see. And again, we're hoping that it's a trend that continues as we move forward. Next slide, please. And these are the regional route boardings. So that includes the routes Bolt, LD, J, L, and LX. As I stated before, the routes J and LX have been suspended under the COVID-19 plan. So they've been suspended since April of 2020. And the route L was split into the routes LD and LX in August 2017. With the pandemic, our regional routes did take a big hit to ridership, because most of our ridership is a commuter or riders to CU. But as the classes have opened up, schools have opened up, and some businesses are bringing their employees back to the office, we are seeing an increase in that ridership as well. I do want to note that the fare buy-up was initiated in July of 2015, and so we did see some ridership increase with that when that happened. Next slide, please. All right, and I'll hand it over to Aaron Vallejos to provide the update for special services. Thank you.
Thank you. Next slide, please. So similar to what we're experiencing on the fixed route side, I will say that FlexRide is experiencing challenges in hiring operators as well. So I do just want to note that at the beginning of our presentation. And kind of as you can see, since entering into the pandemic in 2020 and 2021, there really have not been a lot of changes to service. But I do want to note that at the beginning of this year, without needing additional operator resources, we were able to extend service hours from 5:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the hopes that as we saw more people start to go back to the office, that might better accommodate some of our commuter riders a little bit better. So we are operating 27 weekday hours under the current service plan, as opposed to 24. So not completely back to the 35.5 at the peak pre-pandemic, but we have made some strides in, again, improving our service hours without needing additional operator resources, which is a really great thing to be able to do. Next slide, please. And then, as you can see, similar to our fixed route service, we did see a pretty substantial decrease in ridership. We were kind of holding our own, and then in 2020, it definitely dropped. We have seen an increase in 2021. January wasn't quite as high as I was hoping, but February, we were actually up to a little bit over 70 weekday boardings per day. So I'm hoping that trend continues. We'll obviously monitor that closely. Right now, we don't have any plans to change service in the May run board, but we will be looking at September as schools continue to be back in session and see kind of what service warrants at that time. And that is really all for my update. Next slide, please.
Hey, thank you, Erin. I'll take the next couple slides. Next slide, please, Bill. All right. So just a quick, revisit reminder. We presented this last time and the year before, because it has been in place since the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, as we completed the State Highway 119 PEL. With the PEL, we included an adjustment to the Longmont local network. We conducted that through an external consultant team, as well as in really close coordination with City of Longmont staff. That document is included in the final State Highway 119 BRT project document. And it would be implemented in phases. And as our situation, as others have mentioned, with the lack of resources and operators, as we move forward into State Highway 119 BRT, which is slated for late 2024, beginning 2025, we will look to start phasing part of the State Highway 119 BRT, that being the Bolt and the J. And there are two patterns that are similar to what the Bolt and the J do currently that will move forward into the State Highway 119 BRT plan and operations. So looking hopefully for January 2023 to start phasing the BRT, better regional transit at this point rather than bus rapid transit, because none of the components have been built yet on State Highway 119. But with that, we will also look to see if there are potential adjustments to the local plan that would make sense. All of this is included in what is our system optimization plan under the reimagined study. And it does include the routings of the four local routes, the service levels, the service spans, as well as stop locations. Next slide, please. So just for a visual real quick, on the left side is the current network. You can see the 326, 327, 323 is the green, 324 is the brown or purplish. And on the right-hand side is what is proposed to be the feeder network for the State Highway 119 BRT, which we would look to see what would make sense to start phasing. So if we start phasing the Bolt and J as kind of mimicking what is in the State Highway 119 BRT plan, then we would also look to perhaps, I'm going to say the 323 and the 324 as first routes to have adjustments to help provide local service to those regional routes. Yeah, we haven't decided on that yet. We will have conversations and communications and planning with City of Longmont staff to see what they think would be best. And then obviously, as with any of this, we would have to take it through a regular public process. We won't do any of this until the system optimization plan is approved in one way or another by the RTD board. So again, looking for January 2023 to start making some of these changes, yet can't promise anything, especially since we don't know what the resources, what our situation is going to be with the operators at hand. Next slide. So just real quick as to what the changes in the platform hours and service levels would be. So you can see that current, which is actually current, is at 114 roughly weekday hours, and it would be increased to a total of 135, which is an increase of 21 plus hours per day. Weekday, average weekday. For the weekend, we currently operate about 62 and a half hours. For Saturday, that's proposed to be increased by about the 13, 14 hours to 76. And on Sundays, where we currently operate 21 hours, we're proposing to increase that quite a bit, but increase of 32 hours overall, which would take it to 53. So that is a significant increase on Sunday service. Again, all depends on when we can implement this as to resources available and how we're moving forward with the State Highway 119 BRT. Next slide. And I'll hand it over to Chris Quinn to give an update on Northwest Rail and some more information on State Highway 119 BRT. Thanks.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I had to switch rooms. Just a little bit of background on the Northwest Rail. I know there's a few new members on the TAC, so I know those of you who have been previously been on have probably already seen this and know this, but one of the things that I just want to emphasize that makes this corridor unique and a little bit more challenging than any of the other fast tracks corridors is the fact that this is the only corridor where RTD has not been able to completely obtain the right of way. BNSF currently owns and will continue to own the corridor, even if and when passenger rail service is established there. Additionally, BNSF will continue to operate their freight service through the corridor, which creates quite a bit of the challenge associated with the corridor. The full build out of the corridor does require a double track configuration. Currently, there's only a single track configuration. But we hope, as part of the starter service that I'll talk about in just a moment, that we can function with minimal capital investments and improvements to the corridor. So when we're talking about, next slide, please. I was trying to do it on my end, forgetting that I don't have it. Let's see. I'm getting a bad signal. I'm going to turn off my camera for just a moment. So as Director Geisinger mentioned a little bit earlier, we are now starting to look at a Northwest peak service. And by this, we mean we'd be running service during the AM and the PM rush hour. The intent of it is, how can we minimize the required investment for the corridor? As I noted in the previous slide, the expectation is to run the full service, we would have to have a full double track system from Longmont to Boulder to Denver. But what if we were to be able to just rely on the single track that's already out there, maybe some passing tracks at the stations? The hope is that that could significantly reduce the cost. So the plan that we're looking at would have three trains in the morning that would originate in Longmont, head to Boulder, and then to Denver, and then the reverse in the afternoon. So three trains starting at Union Station that would make their way up the corridor to Boulder and then back to Longmont. The reason we have engaged a consultant, and that consultant is HDR Engineering, is to help us better define exactly what that project would be. A couple of years ago, staff did an internal estimate based on very, very high level planning assumptions. We really basically just kind of looking at maps. We didn't really have any meaningful input from the BNSF, which, as I emphasized, does still own and will continue to own the corridor. So by having a consultant on board, we really want to take a deep dive, start looking at what would the real cost of this be? What would some of the environmental impacts be? Also, want to get a better sense of how the operations would work, keeping in mind that we would have to integrate the services with the existing BNSF freight services. How do we get all of those to fit together? The environmental impacts. And then also, by doing this, one of the things about this corridor with the starter service, since we never really have done any serious evaluation of it, we don't even know whether or not we could be eligible for any kind of state, local, federal grants. But until we have enough information, we're ineligible to apply for those. Now, the study is expected to take about 2.5 years. Oh, and it is one of the other components that I didn't mention in the slide. So we will also be looking at what kind of maintenance would be required. And in this particular case, that would mean a new maintenance facility for the specific commuter rail vehicles. Our expectation is that maintenance facility would be somewhere up in Longmont. And we have already started discussions with the city on whether or not there could be any possibilities of finding a site east of Main Street, somewhere between Main Street and the Sugar Mill facility. So we're continuing to work there. And then one other thing I also want to mention, we did have a meeting with local stakeholders and the BNSF back in February. Basically, it was a very high level technical, or I guess that's kind of a contradiction. It's a technical meeting just to go over some of what the assumptions could be as we move into this study, just things on basic things on track geometry, curvature, that sort of stuff. So nothing really to report on that, but as I mentioned, we do hope to work through this in the 2 to 2.5 year time frame. And again, really what we want to get out of this is just a common understanding, common set of facts of what it would take to establish the corridor and how we might move it forward. Next slide, please. And then one other element that's sort of in the background to all of this is CDOT has established a Front Range Passenger Rail Association. And one of the things that they were looking at is the possibility of running rail from Fort Collins down to Colorado Springs and even further south potentially. One of the key corridors that came out of their final recommendations was in the north part anyway, between Denver and Fort Collins, would be using the existing BNSF corridor, which does go from Fort Collins, Loveland, Berthoud, Longmont, and then following the Northwest Rail Corridor down to Boulder and into Denver. Of the three final corridors that are recommended to move forward for further consideration, the BNSF corridor is the one that was recommended for further evaluation, for more environmental review. And I'm, as you see the second bullet there, kind of quotes verbatim from the report on why they felt it to be a corridor that should be out for further consideration. So CDOT has released a request for proposals from consultants to conduct further review. So they're kind of doing the exact same thing for that full corridor that we are doing for the peak service. We've been in very close discussions with them to make sure that our efforts overlap, or that we can share information and keep each other apprised of our progress, so that, you know, anything that one side does doesn't preclude the other from being able to move forward with their plans. So quite a bit of activity in the corridor right now. Next slide, please. Then a real quick First and Main Street update, First and Main Station update. Just a little bit of background here. Back in 2011, the RTD board committed $17 million to establishing a multimodal center at First and Main Street. The intent of it was that, recognizing that this would be the terminus of the rail, what could we do to establish that as an intermodal center until the train comes? This is a station that would be used as part of the State Highway 119 BRT network, which I'll talk more about in just a moment. But we've been working pretty closely with the city, and the city and RTD jointly conducted what is known as an IMP, or an infrastructure master plan. And the intent of that was to come up with the just enough engineering to determine how to move forward with future agreements. And some of the items that the plan addressed were making sure we had the boundary survey, also recognizing the complexity of the drainage situation in that area. What are the existing utilities? How could they be utilized? And then also determining what the multimodal transportation services would look like. How would the bus network integrate with the future train, and just general transportation, or in and out of the site for any future users? The next steps in that process are, we are working with the city on an intergovernmental agreement to determine how the flow of funds would work as we come up with final design and build the facility. Next slide, please. And then Natalie will talk a little bit about how the future, how the bus operations would integrate with the site when it opens.
Great, thank you, Chris. So yes, proposed future operations. So definitely, obviously, we will look to serve the station with all of the local 300s, and that would include the new 300 routes that are within the local Longmont local network that is attached to the State Highway 119 BRT. We would look to have FlexRide and AccessoRide here, of course. Also the regional routes, as they would operate depending on phasing, and then with the future BRT patterns, we would also look to potentially have Flex from Transport serve the station, and potentially also CDOT Bustang routes, as they had looked at some operations east-west potentially to help with building out the network overall. The access and use will depend on a few things. So one, of course, the completion of the station structure, the completion of Kauffman Busway, because we will need to be able to access the station through Kauffman Busway. also, especially not in the, I believe I'm breaking it out because Kauffman Busway, my understanding is from 3rd to 9th, 10th, 11th, up 9th, 10th, 11th, yeah, versus the completion of 1st and 2nd, that those are going to be different timing. So we'd have to have both of those sections completed before we would really be able to access the station as we are planning to do once it's completely open. We would also look to access via Boston from the west side, but again, you would need that road connection completed. Can't repeat it enough, operations are going to be phased and they're going to depend on resources available as well as warranted per demand. So as we move forward, we'll all be taking a very, very close look at what the ridership is, what the demand is, travel patterns, etc. Again, that's one of the other reasons why we're looking to start phasing the State Highway 119 BRT in January of 2023 so that we can gather some data ahead of actually opening it in end of 24, 25, and make sure that we have the patterns the way they need to be, that they match where the demand is, as well as obviously service level and service span. So next slide, please. Back to Chris.
Okay. Now next slide, please. So back in, it seems so long ago now, back in 2019, RTD, working with the local stakeholders and CDOT, completed what is known as a planning and environmental linkages study for the State Highway 119 corridor. And the intent of that was to evaluate how BRT could work, bus rapid transit, could work from Longmont to Boulder utilizing the diagonal. Coming out of the PEL, the vision plan was for BRT managed lane. So it'd be something similar to US 36, where buses, high occupancy vehicles, and anyone willing to pay a toll could use the new lanes for free. And those would run along the highway portion of the diagonal. It also called for, the plan also called for a busway on Kauffman Street and a bikeway along the corridor, as well as improvements to the bus stops within both Boulder and Longmont. Now, CDOT started probably about a year ago what they're calling the 119 Safety and Mobility Project. And that has determined that at least in the near term, the managed lanes, so again, those would be the toll bus HOV lanes, probably wouldn't be feasible due to the at-grade signalized intersections, but they do want to keep that in the long-term plan. So instead, what CDOT is working on now, it would be for the corridor transit services to rely on Q-jumps. And next slide, please. So what the Q-jumps would do, they would allow buses to bypass the congestion at signalized intersections. Specifically, they would be at all of the signalized intersections along the corridor, starting on the south end, J Road, 63rd Street, State Highway 52, Niwot. Again, what they would do, and you can see it in the graphic here, the worst congestion that happens in the corridor is, of course, at the signalized intersections. So by providing the queue jumps, it allows a bypass lane for the buses to jump around the congestion and then be right up front at the traffic signal and then be first out when the light turns green. CDOT is also looking at adaptive signaling as well as transit signal priority. And transit signal priority, or TSP, is something that gives the bus an advantage. So as an example, if the light's about to turn red and the system detects a bus coming, it will hold the green light a little bit longer or change the phasing so that the bus, again, has a little bit of a travel time advantage. Project would also include, at least along the trunk line, new park and ride facility, or I'm sorry, not along the trunk line, within the whole corridor, a new park and ride facility at Park Ridge Avenue, and that's roughly at US 287 and State Highway 66 in the vicinity of the Walmart. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, enhanced bus stops within Longmont and Boulder. So CDOT is leading an engineering study right now for the final design of that project. And we now have enough information through the design process that it's made us collectively eligible to start applying for various grant funds that are out there. Boulder County is leading an effort to apply for $5 million for some of the queue jumps, as well as a bikeway that would run through the corridor. That is a grant through the Denver Regional Council of Governments. We're fairly confident that that's something that could be awarded. And then RTD CDOT, Boulder and Longmont are also working on a potential federal grant that would also provide some additional elements of funding for the corridor. So, next slide. And I think that's all we have. So happy to try to respond to any questions that anyone might have.
Do we have any questions from the board? Yes, Liz. You're muted. Yeah, but it's real soft.
Very strange.
Okay, I can hear you. We can hear you.
Well, I really appreciated seeing that map of the proposed, and I realize we're all proposed here. I just want to comment. It seemed to me it would be nice if to think about. It would be nice if a bus got to the St. Vrain Innovation Center. I think that there's a lot of things happening that young people in the St. Vrain Valley School District would be benefited if they had access to, and it didn't look like any of those routes went there. That was just my comment. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Noted.
Anyone else? David.
Yes, I just wanted to thank all of the RTD representatives for the information. My question is whether RTD planning envisions cooperating with rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft to provide first and last mile services for the transit system.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris. One of the things we're also doing, a kind of a parallel effort to everything else going on, is what we're calling Reimagine RTD. And part of that effort includes what we're calling a mobility plan for the future, where we are looking at, you know, recognizing that the future of transit's not going to be just buses and trains. What are the things that we can do to start partnering with other rideshare providers so that we can do what is known as a mobility as a service, mobility on demand. Now, as Aaron Vallejos earlier mentioned, you know, we already do have the existing system of call and rides. And we have those throughout the district, but we have been looking at where are our opportunities to integrate our services with theirs, and we have done a couple of pilot projects. Also at this point with, I cannot remember whether it's Uber or Lyft, if you do call for a ride, it'll also tell you what your transit options are, as well as allow you the ability to buy your RTD ticket through the rideshare app. So we're really in the initial stages of exploring what those opportunities could look like, but recognize again that that's probably going to be the future of, you know, of how we move forward. So
when you design a transit stop or a park and ride now, does it include accommodating safe and efficient pickup and drop off from those kinds of providers?
A good question. Yeah, since, you know, we haven't opened any park and rides very recently, but that is one of the things that we're definitely looking at on the State Highway 119 corridor is, yeah, recognizing that from the, as you pointed out, the first and final mile perspective, how are people going to get, recognizing that people aren't going to access these services just by cars. So what do we need to do to accommodate bike share, you know, in the case of Denver, scooters, any other means of getting to the station besides just cars? So short answer to your question, yes.
Thank you.
To add to that, many of our park and rides have what we call the kiss and ride areas. And Uber, Lyft, and taxi services, they are allowed to go into those areas to help basically provide those additional connections.
And it wasn't very clear from the sketch that we provided in the presentation tonight, but there is an area for Uber, Lyft, Kiss and Ride, taxis, all those different things that RTD now incorporates or has been incorporating into their design. But this one was very much pointed toward Uber and Lyft as being two potential final mile pieces. So thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
Any other questions?
If there are no more questions, Director Davidson is on now for from RTD to be able to chat with you as well a little bit. And he is the director who represents the majority of Longmont Central. Thanks, Director Davidson.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Can you hear me okay? All right, thanks for bearing with me. I've been on the go, so I've been audio only for most of this, but I'm glad the camera seems to be working for the moment. It's good to see you all. Appreciate it. I won't take up too much time other than answer any other additional questions since I think a lot was covered. I know earlier Director Geisinger did address several items. I think just maybe two I'll add. One, just an emphasis on the SOP or the system optimization plan, which was part of the Reimagine RTD. We were able to extend out that time for feedback, and I just want to reach out and just say thank you for the feedback. We did receive quite a bit, at least, you know, I saw a fair amount coming in at the last minute there. So I'm glad that we extended out the time and really, really appreciate the thoughtful organization that came from this entire region on that. So I know that we've already touched on that this evening, and certainly our staff is working to look for the intersection of all of that feedback. But the other thing I just wanted to put out there is, you know, the SOP really came from this viewpoint of how do we optimize and work within a constrained environment, both workforce and financial resources. So as Director Geisinger mentioned, certainly one place that is good to see some of the press heading. Again, we may not agree with all of the particulars, but I think we all sort of recognize that we do need to band together to re-envision what the future, the longer term looks like here, and also look towards ways to identify additional resources for transit funding. So anyway, all that to say, thank you for the patience. Thank you for the feedback. All the more important that we all band together on these kinds of things and work through them. There is one issue related to Northwest Rail that I did want to bring to everybody's attention. It may be a little bit nuanced, so forgive me for this, but I did want to open the door to any feedback because it is largely a board and a policy issue. One of the challenges that we're facing as a result of Fast Tracks taking as long as it has is that we're approaching the 20-year mark, the 20-year anniversary of the vote, of the 2004 vote. And the reason that that's important is that we have a bonding authority of around approximately $500 million. And that bonding authority, it turns out that there's a fair amount of precedent in case law that bonding authority may not extend beyond 20 years. We don't know the answer to that. We're looking into it. But simultaneously within our financial team, which I think is doing a stellar job these days of trying to really get our house in order, we've been taking advantage of lower interest rates, the historic lows that we're at, to refinance a lot of our debt. And we've recently found an opportunity to refinance some of the debt that went towards the end line and have found about $103 million worth of savings. We could make that $103 million of savings 120, so an additional 17, but it calls for really using up substantial portion of our bonding authority. So we're really left in this place of now trying to understand case law and understand whether or not this bonding authority will go beyond the 20-year mark or whether we should take advantage of additional savings right now. I think what, you know, all of this arrives at, there are multiple things we can do to finance future Fast Tracks projects. Without getting into details, although I'm happy to answer questions, one of the mechanisms is called a certificate of participation. RTD was actually an innovator on this front when it came to the end line and leveraged some of our assets as part of these COPs. That's something that we can do again in the future, and we're trying to decide how to balance out that those future savings. So I just kind of wanted to let everybody know about this, because if there's any financial minds out there that are very interested to get in the weeds and provide feedback, this will be a policy decision that the board will be making over the next 2 months as to whether we refinance for $103 million or refinance for $120 million. And underlying in that, I did want to just let everybody know that we are working very hard to find those savings right now, because our debt service at RTD is very, very high from the way Fast Tracks was planned. And certainly one of the things that's blocking our future developments on Fast Tracks is that high debt service that threatens to choke out the agency in future years. So we're looking for those savings. The team's doing a great job finding those savings, and we're starting to have some difficult decisions. The other reason I want to mention this is it did pop up in the news, but it is not quite as simple as we're choosing to use up the bonds and they go away and closing the door on it. It is going to be some nuance and some risk taking here. So thank you for having us all. Really appreciate it. Thank you, staff, for the presentation. I'm certainly excited that we're going to move forward on getting those costs and a common set of facts on that that peak service plan. So thank you very much. Happy to take any questions.
Does anyone have any questions for Eric? Or anybody else on RTD board? Okay, thank you. Thank you, RTD, for coming to us tonight and giving us an update. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thanks. Have a great night.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, I think our next item of information is our bylaws update. Phil, you want to take us through that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for your patience on this. This is kind of a short one, actually, as the idea is that this hasn't been updated in about 9 years. So 2013 is the last time that the bylaws have been looked at and revised. We've had a lot of changes since 2013. So we have a lot of, I mean, look at us right now, we're in an electronic meeting, right? That's not even included in the bylaw statement. So there's just certain things that need to be updated to make sure that we have the flexibility to do different things. We also changed our format of the way that we do meetings. We got rid of old business and new business and put it into informational items and action items, which I think is more clear of what is being asked from the board. So we kind of did that thinking that, oh, we're just changing the agenda format, but it's actually in the bylaws that we're supposed to still have old business and new business as part of the discussion. So just a few things to change. And I apologize for not having the city attorney here, but one of our city attorneys, deputy city attorneys, worked on this and put a lot of effort into just trying to clean things up. And so what this really is tonight is an introduction of the bylaw changes. And so you may have read them already and have some thoughts on what should change and what should not. But I think at the next meeting, we're asking that the city attorney office send somebody to kind of guide us through making the changes. And then we have to make the official changes, give 1 week notice. Official notice to the board of the proposed changes, and then you vote on them at your next meeting. So I guess the proposal is that if you have any changes that you wanted to see in the bylaws, we could chat about them tonight and then get them to the city attorney's office and see what they think. Relay that information back to you as a board, probably via email, so that we can look at these one last time at the next meeting and either thumbs up or thumbs down, vote them in or vote them back to, you know, the drawing board of sorts. But just wanted to get your opinion and get these in front of you and make sure that you had a chance to read them. And I didn't want to kind of spring them on you the week before a meeting to then vote on them in one way or another. So we're trying to give you as much time as we can, but we're also trying to make it. It wasn't anything that was really on your work plan this year, so apologies for that, but we did need to make some changes. So with that, I turn it over to the board for any discussion.
Yes, Liz.
In section 5 voting, we have the city attorney commented about taking out raised hand, partly because we're currently meeting virtually. It seemed to me, though, that here in the virtual meetings, which who knows what will happen in the future, it is nice to have the option to raise hand in case we're having this funny audio thing that we had tonight. And at least we can hold our hand up until you see it. And I think leaving that in would be a good thing to leave in. Just thank you.
Point well taken. Thank you. Courtney.
I agree with Liz. I thought that the hand raised, like, we've never had a problem that seeing them, and we hold them up until you're like, okay, I got everybody, and I think we should leave that in there. And otherwise, they seemed like reasonable changes just in, you know, a little bit of wording here or there.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Steve.
Yeah. And it was kind of raised in the document, executive secretary, is Stacy that by default right now, or do we have one that should be named, or should that be changed to be interchangeable? I shouldn't say interchangeable, but one or the other, executive secretary, or I guess city staff member.
Phil, do you know?
Which section are you looking at? Sorry.
That would be.
I see it.
Yeah, I think it's the last page at the very top. Executive secretary.
That is currently Stacy.
Okay. And then the above, you know, the city attorney or assistant actually asked who is the current executive secretary.
I'm sorry. I think the executive secretary was actually Tyler Stamey before. Sorry. I think of him as the staff liaison, but I think the executive secretary refers to that position that Tyler held before, and I'm currently interim executive secretary, I believe. So, yeah.
Thank you. Great.
So it's you, Phil, right now. Okay.
Right. It says the public works director or director's designee shall serve as the executive secretary, and I think that's the person who works with the chair to establish the agenda and help run these meetings through. I think that's it. Yes. I don't know, Jim, if you think otherwise or have another opinion, but I believe that's the way it works.
I think that's stipulated in the code, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, and then it's also defined under section 10, where it's duties of officers, executive secretary is usually ex officio secretary of the board, the members of the board giving their name time gratuitously, and the deputy and the duty of the executive secretary, executive secretary to prepare for the board all business that is assigned to it. So,
yeah, and that would be the city traffic engineers is how we have run it in the past, and that would be the title with the executive secretary for TAB.
Thanks, Steve, for helping us clear that up.
No, that's great. Good information. Thank you for the background.
Any other thoughts about the bylaws? Yes, David.
Just one editorial comment. For section 14, the first sentence, you might want to check with the city grammarian as to whether that phrase that says whom shall be citizens at large should actually read who shall be citizens at large, WHO.
Great, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, so we'll bring this back next month, Phil. Our understanding, if you can think about it, and we'll vote on it next meeting then.
Right. I think that we need to make sure that these are publicly provided to you at least 5 days before the meeting to be legal.
Okay.
So we will do that, and then we'll ask for your vote at the next meeting on whether you approve of the bylaws as amended tonight from what we talked about tonight. If you do have any other thoughts about the issue, please let us know in the next 21 days, right? So we can kind of get that out before the agenda goes out. But if you have any thoughts, let us know, and then we'll let the board know what changes came up in these 3 weeks to make sure you're aware of what changes were requested by other board members. But again, we can't have that discussion in an email chain. So you have to just email either me or Stacy directly, and then with your comments, and then we'll get it out to the board and just let people know kind of where we're at. Hopefully we've taken care of everything at this meeting, but I know how it goes. It's something we always catch later on. So we'll make sure that the board is aware of any other additional changes from this point forward, and make sure you know about it before we ask you to vote on that.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts or questions for Phil? Okay. All right. Comments from the board. David, do you have any comments for us this evening?
No further comments.
Okay, thank you. Diane, do you have any comments this evening? You are muted. Okay, we'll go to Steve.
Thank you, Sandra. No, a good presentation by RTD, and I appreciate Phil giving me the background on the executive secretary. All good. Thank you.
Thank you. Courtney?
It's always great to see the RTD. I remember when we first joined Sandra, we actually met them in person and they came up to Lockmore, which was nice. I'm also wondering if we need to have any discussion about the Third Avenue and Francis issue that Phil had emailed us about the concerned citizen. I know there have been several meetings. It has not been brought up at the TAB meetings, and I'm wondering if we need to discuss that at all.
Phil? Did you hear Courtney?
I think I understand the basis of the question, and I'll probably turn it over to Jim Engstad to help answer the question. Thanks, Jim.
So a little bit of background. Back in August of 2021, at a coffee with council, several residents vocalized some concerns regarding issues in and around the Third and Sherman intersections. So we were given direction by city manager to take a look at it, and they revolved around clear lines of sight at both of those intersections, one going south, one going north, because it's an offset intersection where Sherman intersects with Third Avenue. So Tyler Stamey did several field checks over a course of several months, in part because when we first went out, we didn't identify any issues. And then we revisited the meeting minutes when they identified them as being in the evening hours. So at each of those intersections, in accordance with our standards, we did while the West End Tavern was in full swing, we saw and identified a number of areas where it was legally allowed to park, but it was blocking sight distance for vehicles trying to access Third Avenue. So as we normally would, this is an operational issue. We addressed it via installing several no parking signs, clearing those lines of sight so that people could then safely access Third Avenue. Unfortunately, where we kind of ran afoul of the whole process was our operations group. We had put an order in for the signs and asked them to hold until we undertook some public engagement. They went ahead and installed the signs. That's where we dropped the ball. So we would have been either our plan was to send out notifications and deal with concerns from the residents, or have a public meeting. Neither of those things happened. We are aware that was was an issue with communications, and city manager and both engineering have owned that. But we would have ended up here anyway, because it was a safety issue. It's not an issue, and it's an operational issue. We deal with this all the time. Certainly not to this degree, though. Tyler has been doing it for, you know, we've had records from, you should do it, see about 10 to 12 of these issues a year. They're pretty simplistic in resolving them. Unfortunately, this was one a little bit more detailed and a little bit larger than we normally deal with. So we backtracked. One of the other items we looked at was turning radii for emergency vehicles and larger vehicles from 3rd accessing onto Sherman. In accordance with how we normally would look at these, we put a turning template onto a plan. It looked like it wasn't going to work, so we added additional signs. City manager asked us to take another look at it with public safety. We did. We took a couple field tests last week and came to the conclusion that our turning templates were a little on the conservative side, so we are going to be adjusting some signs out there on Sherman to put a couple more parking spaces back in the neighborhood. We are working on several asset management projects in the area. There's going to be a water line. It's actually now starting this month on 3rd Avenue, coming from Main Street going to the west. So we will be working in the 3rd Avenue corridor. There's going to be a storm drainage project between Sherman and Francis coming later this year. We've been asked to accelerate that. And then we'll follow up next year with a an asphalt rehab project of 3rd Avenue. So knowing that we're going to be out there basically rebuilding the road anyway, Harold Dominguez, city manager, has asked us to look at if there's opportunities to provide some curb extensions, change lanes to provide or return those parking spaces back in that area. And so we are in the process of working on hiring a designer to go out there, take a look at it, come up with a plan, which we would then vet through a public process, make sure everybody's aware of what we're doing and what the expectations are. We hope to have that done by later this year. And that is really what the backstory and the plan moving forward. So I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Looks like Steve has a question.
Yeah, real quick, Jim. So I understand the line of sight and the issue that the cars maybe cause some obstruction. What about the vulnerable users that might be using 3rd Avenue? How's that going to be taken into account? Because you can't physically widen that space. And so with those parking spots there, if you were going to do any sort of bike lane or anything else, that's obviously going to be a whole nother issue in and of itself. So has there been any discussion about what that looks like?
And I think, you know, what I would hope is why I would get a designer outside of city staff is to come in and look at it holistically. We want to be able to move cars, pets, bikes. Granted, the bikes would be sharrows. We're not looking to install bike lanes. It's just not enough room in the corridor. But I don't know that in this particular area, we can still provide bike or provide cars or allow for parking on both sides of the street. So the goal would be to find as many parking spaces as we can and still make it safe. Safety is the key issue here. Okay, so there's opportunities here for, you know, to improve pedestrian facilities, traffic mitigation. We're probably going to be looking at speed tables along 3rd to slow traffic down. You know, that has been a historic problem since the speed limit was lowered several years ago. Safe crossings is another thing we heard. So we're going to look at all of that and trying to find the best places and make it the safest. A little more lighting in some areas as well was discussed as well. So we'll look at it. I don't know what we're going to come out of it, but we'll probably be back in front of you talking about this in the fall with a plan.
Thank you, Jim. Phil did send us a link to the March 7th meeting. It was an hour and 47 minutes and some seconds. And so if you have some time, you can listen. it is an operational issue that the city looks at. It's not left to the Transportation Advisory Board to make that decision because it's an operational issue. So there were a lot of people at the meeting and they had a lot of things to say. Staff had a lot of, they answered the questions. And anyway, I thought it was good. I appreciated hearing the whole story. So from that hour and 47 minutes. Okay, Joe, do you have any comments for the staff today? You do not.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's see, I guess Liz, you already talked to us?
No.
Nope. Oh, okay. Liz.
So thank you, Sandra. I wanted to just mention board member Michelle had said that we hadn't talked about Third Avenue. We did a little bit in January when some callers called in. And they were both saying that the city had done it right. So it's good to have both sides and opportunities for both sides to be heard. What this is pointing out to me is the thing we talked about last month and the month before about outreach. What we do and what we don't do is something that might be communicated better. And here there's all this kerfluffle and nobody called in tonight either. And so I'm thinking we're not getting the information out to people, how they can participate at a ground level and understand. It took us a long time to get another board member as well. So we probably have some communication things we might need to be continuing to think about. And again, thanks to RTD and everybody. This was a really informative evening. Thank you.
Thank you. And I remember the public engagement that took place on 9th Street, not far from my house. And Tyler and staff came out and they were taking from west of Hoover to Airport Road and how they were going to add bike lanes and they were going to narrow lanes. And it was really important that that did happen. There were a lot of people there. They listened to what the concerns that the residents around the area had. And then they took that back and they made some changes on their plans. And it's smooth sailing down that part of 9th Street, and there's bike lanes, and it's just good. And there's speed telling you how fast you're going. And so I appreciated that city transportation took the time to invite us to engage the community and ask questions and hear about the project. So to piggyback on what you said, Liz, it's important that we do communicate and we give the residents an opportunity to be engaged. And I just want to say that I have heard RTD speak 3 times, and it's every time I hear them speak, I understand more about their whole process, and it doesn't move fast making changes with RTD and getting people on board. But I appreciated the effort of all RTD staff being here and our commissioners or directors of RTD coming and joining us and speaking to us tonight. So thank you, Phil and Jim, for providing that opportunity. All right. Do we have, Council Member Yarbrough came this evening, did she? Okay, so we don't have any comments from her. Information on updating upcoming transportation related meeting. Phil put in here the virtual or in-person survey that was sent to everyone to make sure that you take time to fill that out. Or did you want to say more about that, Phil? No? Yep.
No, just this is a kind of a pivotal time, right? I mean, it's the city council's decided that March 29th will be their first in-person meeting again. And we don't know what's going to happen, obviously, and these things might change, but would hope that everyone on this board was able to at least take part in that survey and give us your opinions on how you think we should move forward with this format or with in-person format. Thank you.
Thank you. Diane, you made a note in the chat. Can you unmute yourself? And do you have any comments this evening you want us to hear? She's been having some problems with the web.
I've been having several issues as well, both sound and video periodically throughout the session.
And Liz, you have too? Okay, Diane, I heard my name, but your question, Sandra, do you have any comments being a board member that you want to say this evening about our meeting? Okay, I'm not hearing anything or seeing anything written. Items for upcoming agenda, April 11th, 2022.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
A little bit late. I don't know if you can.
I can hear you.
I do have an interesting link I'd like to share. It's a little bit of a long read, but it kind of gives a good history of mass transportation through the ages, if you will, and things that drive transportation. And I think the presentation we had tonight, and you would all find it interesting. Do you mind if I forward that link after the meeting?
No, Phil, isn't that great?
Yeah, you can send that to me, Diane, and I will we'll get that out. I have some other things. I wanted to send the link for that upcoming 119 meeting as well.
Yeah.
And then we'll send the presentation to everyone from RTD. So you have that in case you want to see it.
Thank you.
I'll send all three things.
That would be great. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, thank you for sending that my way.
You're welcome.
Okay. Phil, did you want to tell us about any agenda items for April 11th?
I really just wanted to say that the bylaws are the big thing for that meeting.
Okay.
That we know about right now. You know, in the next 3 or 4 weeks here, we'll probably have something else get on there. And I just don't have access to the calendar. I apologize. I made the mistake of coming home to do this meeting and probably should have just stayed at work because I could have seen the J drive, which is our drive that shows me kind of what's next on the calendar. So don't have access to that right now, but we will, I'll send that out as well when we send out the other things, and Jim has something.
Okay, yes, Jim.
So under future items, we are at the city are currently starting the budget process. We anticipate that the capital improvement program process will open up where we review all past projects kind of that haven't gotten undertaken yet, and what we're going to be putting into the 5-year look ahead in future budgets. It's going to be a little bit of an odd year, I think. This year, from a staff perspective, two major items we're facing is one is actually staff shortages. I think in engineering, I'm down about 9 positions. Overall, that includes utilities, our signals, and of course, our traffic engineer. And then also one of the challenges that I think will significantly impact budget across the city will be the inflation in prices and commodities we've seen in the last year. In some cases, it's 30% to 40% to 50% of a project budget. So it's going to significantly impact what we may be able to do in the future. And basically what it ends up doing is just spreading those projects out over a longer period of time. So those are things to kind of ponder and consider. And if there's anything you want to make any recommendations that staff may want to focus on, or you want more information, we can certainly start talking about it. One other item though, not necessarily about budget, but upcoming traffic meeting or traffic related meeting at the, Sandra had mentioned that public meeting for 9th Avenue residents, one of the call-ins talked about concerns with speeding on Gay Street.
Mm-hmm.
The residents of Gay Street have put in an application for our traffic mitigation. One of part of that process is to hold a neighborhood meeting. We are currently scheduling that. I would anticipate, I'm probably going to push it out. It'll probably be second or third week in April is what I would be looking for. It would be an in-person meeting, probably either at the local school or at the senior center. So we'll push it out beyond this next meeting, but we'll make sure you're notified So it's usually a public meeting where we get together, talk with the residents, talk about possibilities, what we're going to do. One of the directions Harold gave me recently is put in some temporary speed tables on 3rd Avenue. So there's an opportunity, I think, to do some of that work on Gay Street as well. So we'll let you know when that meeting is.
So Jim, would you like for us to attend those kind of meetings if we're available, even though we may not live on Gay or close to Gay?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I'll be there.
Well, just to
I think it's an opportunity to learn, see kind of some of that public engagement. And then if you any, you know, always ask for any constructive criticism of how we're holding them. It's going to be one of the first meetings we're doing in person. Again, we've done it in the past where we held a public meeting based on an application and no one from the public showed up. So we really didn't do anything in that neighborhood. Haven't heard anything since. So, but these people here were, there's going to be a lot going on in Gay Street. Gay Street is, it's being ripped up now for a water line. Paving on that road will not occur, or a complete resurfacing. The contractor will repave it now, the trench, but complete resurfacing won't happen for 2024. It's also where one of our EMUC corridors, enhanced multi-use corridors, was for a future. That is something we're going to look at, because the residents have already indicated they don't want us to take away their parking for bigger bike lanes. The road already has bike lanes on it. So that's going to be an effort we're going to look at and engage with the public. But this is about traffic calming and traffic mitigation, neighborhood mitigation. So it's an opportunity, I think, for everybody to sit down with them, hear what they have to say, talk about what we can do, what we can't do, and then we'll see where it goes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else?
I just had one last item. It does kind of go back to what Jim was talking about as far as budget. And we will be bringing up to the TAB the our future transportation improvement program requests that we do through Dr. Cog. I think we talked about that at a couple meeting or last meeting in February. But we will be bringing the specific projects back to you, maybe not in April, but in the near future, you'll get to see how we're pursuing federal dollars and those grant dollars and state dollars to kind of supplement some of the budget issues that we're having with cost escalations and different things like that. So those will come before this board in the near future. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Well, I'm going to adjourn our meeting at 7:27 and we'll see you all back on April the 11th. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.